Psalm 23, and we'll begin reading in verse number 3. Psalm 23 and verse number 3. The Bible says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteous for His name's sake. Aren't you so glad that He's the one that does the leading? And all we have to do is, we sing tonight, all we have to do is what? All we have to do is follow. You know, it's a very common inaccuracy that about sheep that they can pretty much get along just about anywhere. And that's not true. Though they are very independent and have that independent spirit, but this independence will cause much trouble for them because they can't take care of themselves. Ladies, it's like us men sometimes. We just can't take care of ourselves without you. Yeah. But why is this the case with these sheep? Well, it's because sheep require more careful handling and precise direction than any other livestock. And I tell you, I didn't grow up on a farm, but I visited a couple, especially with my grandparents, and I've seen some animals that didn't act very smart. But I also didn't know any sheep then at that time. There was no sheep, and I don't know why my grandfather didn't raise them. But sheep left to themselves can destroy the finest grazing lands in short order. In fact, if they're uncared for, sheep can also bring destruction to themselves. Kind of a lot like us, isn't it? First, you know, unattended sheep will overgraze a field, leaving nothing but dirt and roots. And, of course, it don't take long for the wind and rain to cause much erosion. And then secondly, the longer sheep remain on one piece of land, the greater chances it is for the sheep themselves of becoming riddled with life-starving parasites. The result of all of this is that the land and the owner are ruined, and the sheep become thin, sickly, and die. And that's why it's so important for us, if we are compared to sheep through the Word of God, realizing our responsibility for caring for one another. And understanding sometimes it's hard for a pastor sometimes to have to stand, say some things and preach some things, and hopefully it'll always be taken that it's out of love and out of concern and wanting to help and wanting to warn. But unless that warning is heeded, it can lead to destruction. See, the cure lies with the shepherd. He must develop a wise grazing plan to keep his flock rotated into fresh grass. And a wise sheep will be among the sheep every day, checking on them, checking the balance between the growth of the grass and the pressure that flocks place on the field that they're grazing in. And as soon as he feels that the pressure is too great on the pasture, he will move the flock to another field. And again, it's so important why a pastor should spend time with his people. And I'll say it again later, but I've read and I've repeated several times, and I want to beat it into my heart, my mind, that I never forget. Shepherds should smell like sheep. And just like a pastor, a shepherd, an overseer needs to be around his people. Now, I don't want to smell like some of y'all, but I do want to be around. I do need to be around you and involved in your life, getting to know you that I might minister, encourage you. And I enjoy the times of fellowship that we have with the men on Tuesday morning. I enjoy the times of fellowship we have as a church family after evening services over there to fellowship hall, whether it be for any occasion. The time of fellowship is always very enjoyable. Now, this planned rotation that I referred to about how important it is for them to rotate and take the sheep here and there, but it accomplishes a few things. And first of all, it instills confidence in the sheep as they see their shepherd among them each day. In the same aspect, I would hope that it instills confidence to a congregation when they know their pastor is among them, that knows where they live, that's in the community, that is with them not just here for the services and out the door, but is a part of their life as much as he is allowed to be involved with. It instills confidence in the sheep as they see their shepherd among them each day. Again, a shepherd should smell like sheep. And then secondly, this aspect of spending time there, it preserves the land for effective grazing in the future. And so often, I think the best way for us to be preserved and to help one another is that the leadership within our church, with the pastor, the deacons, and those who teach Sunday school, is making sure there's fresh and new material and teaching and challenges as we go through the Word of God. And then third, not only do we see it instilling confidence in preserving the lamb, but it strengthens the reputation of the shepherd as others see the condition of his flock and his lands. And tell you what, folks, one of the greatest compliments a pastor could ever get is when a family, especially when I was in the military, when one of our families had to rotate out or you move and relocate to another area and another, they join another church and I get a phone call, I get an email from a pastor that says, so-and-so family has moved in the area. They have visited for several weeks. They joined. I just wanted you to know they are a blessing to me as their pastor and to their church. I'm so glad they spent time under your ministry before coming here. That is a blessing and a compliment. In the same way with as a shepherd caring for a sheep, as others see and the community sees how they care for their sheep. So let's look again now as we go a little further at our text verse once again. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This phrase, paths of righteousness, the word righteous simply means that which is right, or it could also mean literally the right paths. The right paths. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. It is indicative of right living. The Bible teaches that sheep must be led into right living. And Christians and young Christians need to be led into right living. And that's just not from the pastor, but from his peers and those around him who live by example and encourages them in right living, because they won't go that far on their own. A child left to himself, the Bible says, will bring a mother to shame. And a young Christian left to themselves will not know what to do, where to go, or how to handle things. And I don't know how many times in the previous years of working in churches, helping churches, or pastoring overseas with the military, hearing young people coming to me and saying, Pastor, I have never heard that preached. I've never heard that preached. I didn't realize that. In fact, we had one young lady who got saved in our church who grew up in an Anglican church. And I don't know if this is politically correct or not, Ken. We'll find out if we need to. I'm going to go ahead and tape it anyway. I'm going to say it anyway. She was coming stomping bad one day after attending the services. Preacher, I need to see you after the service. I said, now, is everything okay? Oh, nope, everything's fine. I just need to talk to you, Michelle. I am so frustrated. And now, she was new to the church, hasn't joined, hasn't made a profession of faith. And she went in my office. She sat for the service. So we went in. She sat down. Around. Where's Miss Michelle? I'll wait. So I'll get her. We'll holler at her. Doors open. Michelle came in. And here's what she said. I've been in church all of my life. I've sat into preaching Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, got involved in the youth, did all these things. And not one person ever told me I was dying and going to hell. I'm going to hell, preacher, and I don't want to go. He said, I should have known. There's a bunch of Democrats anyway. I should have known. Now, I'm sorry. I'm just repeating what she said. I should have known they were off when I found out who was around me. And she was just boo-hooing. And then I said, okay, what do you want to do? She goes, well, I want to pray and get saved. I said, what's stopping you? So she bowed her head and she trusted Christ as her Savior. First thing she wanted was her Bible, the same Bible that her preacher preaches out of, so I can follow along. That young lady read through her Bible within 3 or 4 months. She carried it with her everywhere she went, in the clinic, waiting to see the doctor, with her children, waiting outside in line to get into one of the stores. She had her Bible open and just hoping somebody would ask her, what are you reading? Because she wanted to tell somebody what she was reading. Folks, again, in church all of her life. That's why it's so important. Even though we may be in church, it's not to check a box. We need to make sure we're not only here for the preaching and for the fellowship, but encouraging and helping those around us, setting a godly example. I don't want anyone ever to attend this church and leave and not know how to be saved. They might know they need to be saved, but I don't want them to know not how to be saved. It's so important that they learn, and it's responsible for the shepherd caring for his sheep, but it's also important for the shepherd, the pastor, and caring for his people, and we as sheep as well, caring for one another. He restoreth my soul. Dear friends, every believer must determine that he or she is going to follow the leadership of the Good Shepherd. If we make our decision right now, I am going to follow the Good Shepherd, we'll have no problem. We open our Bible and we read and we get under conviction. We'll want to conform. But if we're not sure we want to know and we're going to read, we'll see what it says. No, making the decision, I'm going to follow the Good Shepherd. I'm going to follow the Word of God. Where He leads me, I will follow. What He feeds me, I will swallow, as the missionaries says on the mission field. I'm going to follow Him because He is the Good Shepherd. Number one, the way, excuse me, the why of his leading. The why of his leading. Letter A, because of our inability. That's why, because of our inability. Look at Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, turning to our own way means that we are doing what we want. I can do it myself. I'll make the decision. I don't know about that. That's not saying I'm going to follow the good shepherd and where he leads me. It says I will just test the waters and I will decide. It means that we think that we can handle our lives just fine without God's help. Folks, I don't know about you. I don't see this world that we live in today, how they can live like they do and not even think about eternity and how they're living or not knowing where they're going. We live in a world today, people are just literally miserable. They have to be. The suicide rate is higher in our world today than it has ever been. I know the population is bigger as well, but the percentage is going up. It means not only that we're doing what we want and what we think we can do it ourselves, but it means we don't think we need his direction or his leading in our lives. Folks, I hope that we don't make any step or any decisions without consulting our Lord, especially those spiritual decisions, whether it be even a major purchase in our life. But the reality is, it's just the opposite. I do need his leadership in my life. I covet his leadership. Just like I covet the friendship and encouragement from our men in this church to encourage me, to challenge me, to support me, and at times to ask the tough questions. I'd strive for that, and I need his leadership in order to do what the Lord would have me to do. But also, not only do I need his leadership, I do need his direction in my life because I am totally unable to handle life on my own strength. I need his leadership, but I need his direction. I tell you, I know we've talked about this before. I don't want to dwell on, move on. I had no earthly idea fully what God had in mind when we sold our home and the last church we were involved in before coming to Arizona. But God knew. I couldn't explain it. I didn't know why, but we had peace about it. We love that house in Kingsport, Tennessee. We enjoy that area. Brother Glenn, it was a 5-minute walk down to the river. I mean, we had green grass. You know, every time I run up and down 10 now, those White Tank Mountains are looking prettier and prettier every day. I can't explain it. The Lord knows exactly what he's doing. Psalm 25 and verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 84 and verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. Folks, those are decisions we make clearly in our own heart and mind, and we make them concrete. Whatever God wants, that's what I want. Is willing to sign that piece of paper with blank and say, Lord, fill in your will for my life, and sign it and just say, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. Not only do we see here because of our inability, letter B, because of his impeccability. Boy, isn't it wonderful to serve a perfect, sinless God because of his impeccability. See, the doctrine of impeccability is a teaching that Jesus Christ was absolutely sinless. Absolutely sinless. It's just not that Jesus did not sin while he was here. It's that he could not sin. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 verse 13 through 16. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spots, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only have immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man could approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. See, the scripture is clear that Jesus Christ is impeccable because he is God. He is God. So how can we know that Jesus is a good shepherd who leads his sheep? because in our inability, he is totally capable of meeting our every need. There is no need that we have that he cannot meet. There is no need that's coming around the corner that he does not know. There's no circumstance. Again, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what's going on in our life. He knows exactly what's around the corner. He knows about the next bump in the road. The why of his leading, because of not just of our inability, but because of his impeccability. Let me encourage you to think about that over the next few days and ask yourself in the sense of service unto the Lord, when is the last time that I considered, talked about, and shared with somebody else how awesome God really is to me, what he means to me, what he has done for me? I tell you what, the excitement that we had here this past Sunday night, some of the excitement we had around the table Tuesday morning, folks, as that spills over into the community and we get excited about talking about these things here, there, and yonder, people are going to take notice. People are going to realize that there's something going on, and everybody wants to be a part and know about the exciting things that are taking place. There's people out there who needs the Lord, who's seeking the Lord, and they just don't know where or how to find him. But we can. Before we go tonight, anybody would like to give a quick testimony that did not get a chance Sunday night, but you wanted to? Brother Sam. From a life of sin or out of a life of sin? Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Every testimony is amazing, spectacular, impeccable. And because of our inability, he just steps in. If you do listen, you look it up online, Unshackled. There's a few. There's one in particular. I went to Bible college with a fellow named Jim Rumsey. His life story is on Unshackled. He got saved in prison. And somehow, unexpectedly, he got out. And he left prison and enrolled in Bible college. And now he's involved in prison ministry. Has been for 30-plus years. Tremendous, tremendous story. Amen. Anyone else real quick, and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Yes, Miss Pat. Amen. Okay, we'll do it again. Next one, Miss Agnes. You've been chomping at the bit. Go ahead. I had a wonderful time of fellowship with the chairs last night. Gentlemen, this man can cook. Looking forward to that breakfast here coming up as things begin to cool off. We can get over there and do it one Saturday morning. All right, let's all stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. And we'll do this again once in a while on Wednesday nights. And I think it's always a blessing as we share our testimonies, encouragement. And we're not going to run out of stories. We're not going to run out of blessings because God just keeps blessing and blessing. They're going to be there. Brother Tony, would you dismiss us in prayer? Lord bless you. As always, remember, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to, please don't hesitate to ask.